The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
To offer a few words about the issue of self and not self in Buddhism. There can be a tendency among people when they hear the Buddhist teachings about not self to interpret it to mean that it's rather, they were supposed to dismiss the self, like the self is not important, we're not important, and any kind of self-concern or self-referencing is not really appropriate. There's no self here to be concerned about, so you're supposed to just be somehow something like a not-self that maybe has no desires or something. I don't know what. Generally, in the world, when people have no desires, they're usually depressed rather than enlightened. There's something very profound about the Buddhist teachings or insights into not-self, but it's not meant to, at all in any kind of way to be dismissive of anyone or dismissive of you as if you're not important. I would say the opposite in Buddhism, that Buddhism recognizes a tremendous value and importance of each person, and that to appreciate your own importance is part of the task of this practice. You're really who you are, your well-being is very important for yourself. You're an important person. And what's less known, because there's very little mention of it, but the word self, that's atta, someone who is developed, spiritually mature, in the Pali tradition is called a great self, a maha-atta. It's like the Gandhi was called Mahatman. It means the same thing, a great self. And so this idea that to relate to oneself as if oneself is really important, we're valuable, we're important beings. Our well-being is important. Relate to us or to ourselves as having value and purpose and meaning. As opposed to feel that or relate to ourselves as we don't count or we're not important or that somehow we're supposed to kind of, you know, that we're somehow lousy, good for nothing kind of person. No one is lousy. No one's good for nothing. Everyone is important. Everyone is a valued person. And the practice is meant to turn towards oneself with appreciation, with value. Even when we find ourselves feeling inadequate or feeling bad or feeling like we're less than or not important, it's important to turn towards that and meet that with maturity, with uprightness, with clarity, as if we're important. As we do this and turn towards ourselves and into ourselves and really as if we're important, one of the ways you will sooner or later encounter is that if there is conceit, if we're caught up in sense of self, if we're attached to identity issues, we'll see very clearly how that limits us and how it's, and that, you know, seemingly as a paradox, that the more in a conventional way we take ourselves as being a really important person and hold ourselves up, that actually limits us. And if we really take ourselves as being important, we wouldn't be caught up in thoughts that we're important. So there's a kind of, it kind of dissolves. It's kind of like if you're only feel safe by putting on lots of armor, then you're not, you know, you might be safe, but real safety is when you can realize you don't have to wear the armor anymore and you can relax and just be there and you don't need to have the armor anymore. So to be able to create a sense of presence or attention and to let something really deep to relax and to let go so that we don't even need to have a self-referencing point of view. We don't need to have an identity that we're holding on to. We can have an identity, but we don't hold on to anything. So this idea of that we're important and it's important to pay attention to us, ourselves, this is the locus, this is the location of where you're going to discover your freedom, where the greatest maturity as a human being will arise. The great expression in Buddhism is, there's an expression called Bodhimanda. And the Bodhimanda is the place of enlightenment. When the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree, that was his Bodhimanda, place of awakening. And then the teaching is that wherever you are is your bodhimanda. It's an important place here. So if you turn towards yourself as if you're important, if you do that well with mindfulness, then the need to be important will dissolve. Just like the need for safety dissolves when you're feeling quite safe, then you no longer need to feel safe because you are safe. The need to be an important person falls away when you relate to yourself as important and you relax and feel important. You don't have to puff yourself up. You don't have to deflate yourself. You can just be. And so I would like to suggest that when you hear Buddhist teachings, even teachings about not-self, that those teachings are being offered in the context of tremendous respect for yourself and who you are, a sense of value of yourself and who you are, and a sense of the possibility of who we are. And that, and as we accept that and live by that and live as if that's true and use the mindfulness practice, then any extra way in which we're caught up in self, any extra way in which we are conceited, whether it's a negative conceit or a positive conceit, will begin to dissolve in time. It won't be needed anymore because it's all a limitation. It's all a limitation. So if you do hear the teachings that there's no self, if that kind of teachings you hear, you don't need to be confused, meaning that, well then what foot am I supposed to stand on? Or how am I supposed to be? And if I'm not going to be a self, or what self am I supposed to be if there's no self? You can be a self. Please be a self. And be a strong self. Be an upright self. And be a strong self. Be a strong person. And value yourself and consider yourself as an important person, as an efficacious person. Please, by all means, it's true. And then use the mindfulness practice to learn to, with that attitude of being important and valuable, to begin to shed all the extra ways which we hang on, get attached to concepts of self, and all the extra ideas that we add on top of that that are not really needed. And eventually you'll find that you'll feel so important that you don't have to think about it anymore. And you don't have to burden other people with going around being an important person. It doesn't matter to you if people see you as being important or not anymore. Because you're not, your whole sense of identity, your whole sense of happiness is not dependent on being an important person for anybody, including for yourself, in due time. Because you feel so confident or so relaxed about who you are and you're willing to show up and be here. This is who I am. So in a sense, that the teachings of not-self arises for people as they begin shedding all the different unnecessary attachments they have around who they are. It's not meant to be a teaching to diminish us or to leave us empty-handed in some kind of way that we feel less than or feel like we can't show up or we can't stand there on our own two feet, upright, independent, clear, confident in a certain kind of way. I think that, and you know, this is not mentioned very much here in the West for a number of reasons, some of them having to do sociologically with maybe with what happened here in the West in America in the 60s and 70s. But here in the West, it's very rare that Western Dharma teachers use the language of the warrior, being a warrior and talking about this practice. But in the ancient world, and in Asia still to this day, there's much more warrior language being used. And the idea is, you know, you enter the practice with a kind of the dignity, the traditional idea of an ancient warrior. You have a certain dignity, uprightness, strength, and you practice with that. You don't practice with being an amoeba, just collapses into no self and, you know, just gets pushed around. It doesn't really count. But there's a kind of uprightness in it all. So you don't have to adopt the warrior language, but it just is offering as a corrective to any kind of idea that not self means that you're supposed to be just kind of like wishy-washy or not quite here or that you don't count. It's the warrior who discovers that there's no self here. So please consider yourself important, valuable, each and every one of you. And all the voices and impulses and ideas you have that somehow diminish you or undermines that sense, turn towards that gently, kindly, respectfully, and question it. And let that part of you that can turn towards it and see it, let that be your strength. Don't get caught up. Don't get identified so strongly with the diminishing voices you have. So, in summary, I think that Buddhism teaches is that you're really important. So please remember that.